You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, welcome to the final hour on this Tuesday afternoon, early evening. We appreciate you being here, and we are really looking forward to our next guest. Dawn Staley, one of the most successful coaches in the country, if not the world. She was supposed to be the Olympic coach last year, will be this year, had the number one team in the country last year when everything shut down. And, Coach, it is great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, as always.
Well, we are delighted. We just got through playing a clip of Aja Wilson and talking about being honored with the statue, and I'm guessing that made you very happy and proud.
Super, super proud, elated. Couldn't really happen to a better individual, player, human being. She represents what you want all your student athletes to be, and that is just a powerful young lady who is very comfortable in her skin.
Well, that is fantastic, and we were actually watching it now, Coach, and it's just an amazingly moving scene. And what Aja said about her grandmother and how it all tied together with Martin Luther King Day. I know, because I feel like I know you well enough, that it had to be particularly moving, and I think it moved so many of us.
Moving. She always tries to make me cry, and I don't even think she realized that story got me, because I've never heard her say that. I've heard other people say that very thing, and that they could not step foot on this campus, and that created a lot of ill will, and I hear that from some of our fans. You don't really believe it, but when you have someone that as close as I am with Aja say it kind of just vividly gives you a picture of what that looked like. And I met her grandmother, so I mean, it was fitting, but also in this world today in which we can't see how far we've come, in that moment, I felt it. And that moment gave me hope that things have changed around the University of South Carolina as far as there are plenty of minorities, black folks are walking around that campus, including myself. That really gives me hope and some stamina that one day we will see the change, if not generations, our future generations will at least see a change in our world.
And, Coach, I want to get to basketball in a minute, but on that subject, I've seen some of your comments lately about the state of this world, especially this country. We try to talk to you a couple of times a year about things that matter to you, and especially in the aftermath of the social justice conversation. But how do you feel about where things are headed, even beyond your own campus?
You can only be hopeful and prayerful. Those are the only two things that we can hang our hat on, because for what we see and what we feel, it's not a good feeling. It's very much divided. It's very much different perspectives out there. And I just hope that we can continue to drum up uncomfortable conversations so we can at least just see another perspective. Because if we just walk around with blinders on and just think that just our own narrow-minded views are right, like all the time, then we won't be able to move it to where everybody feels like they can live as freely as everyone else. You know, I'm encouraged. Yeah, here's why I'm encouraged too, because I'm encouraged by the amount of people that voted. I'm particularly encouraged by the black vote. If nothing else, that we get out of what has taken place over the past, we're coming on a year now, is that people will take the black vote a lot more seriously than we have in the past. And for that, I am encouraged, because we exercise our right to vote, and it moved the needle in so many elections, not just the, you know, presidential election, the congressional election, the senator election. It is a beautiful thing, and that's how you use your voice.
In relation to how you hear from your players, obviously you're a coach, you talk about basketball, but I also know that you have had many, many conversations with your ladies about social issues and what you just got through saying. How do those conversations go, Coach?
I mean, I'm blown away. I am blown away every time that we've had conversations about race, about socioeconomic status, about what their perspective is, because they're young people, and you know we're old. We've had views. We've lived our life to formulate opinions and perspectives. Yet we don't really take our time to think about what young people, how they feel, how they see things. They're our future. And if we don't take the time to have those conversations, we'll never know. We'll be stuck in this world of, this is the way you're supposed to think. This is the way you're supposed to be. Don't do that. Do this. And those days are over. I mean, they've never been that, as far as I can remember growing up. Nowadays, young people are more socially conscious. They're utilizing their voices. They have perspective, and it's not one-sided. It's not, because they've seen it all. So we have to give them that space to formulate what they feel are their thoughts and feelings and experiences. If we don't give them that space, then we're not teaching them to grow. We're not teaching them to navigate through life in a way that they can be leaders. You know, they can stand up for themselves. And I'm truly proud. You know, I did share with ESPN, you know, they do a monthly diary, that I got an email from a general, former general, and his email it woke me up, you know, because I never had that perspective on, you know, sitting for the national anthem, or actually standing for the national anthem. And he just thought it was 90 seconds of unity. Our world, with so much divide in our world, it is 90 seconds for us to unify as a country. And, you know, no one's ever really told me that perspective. I've never thought about that perspective. So it opened me up a little bit, you know, and then I shared it with our players. I mean, I was blown away with their responses. They're the ones that are sitting. Most of them are sitting. One of them is standing. One of them is kneeling. And their perspective is, if we're not a unified country or a unified people, how can we stand in unity? And that is based on it's blasphemous to say, so to speak. So we can't pretend that we're unified in those 90 seconds if we're not unified. So they continue to choose to sit and kneel and stand for what they believe is right for them in that moment. But it's no disrespect to the flag, none at all. And we've heard high and low from different military people and veterans about on either side of the spectrum. And that's the beauty of it. Some people embrace it. Some people just think it's disgusting. But we live in this world in which, okay, I understand why you think it's that way, but that's not why our players are doing what they're doing. So I think it's kind of cool to have these conversations where you can get a different perspective and still stand strong in what you believe in. And that goes to supporting without agreeing. There is a space for that.
Chatting with Coach Don Staley of South Carolina. Coach, before you go, I do want to talk about what you do every day, and that is the college basketball season. We've seen some teams opt out, Vanderbilt, others not that far away from you. What has it been like so far, and what are the challenges to make sure that we get this season in?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
I mean, there are huge challenges. Obviously, you know, trying to navigate through COVID is huge. You know, but again, if you follow the protocol, and you're diligent in following that protocol, you decrease your chances of being impacted in a way that can shut you down. Obviously, there are people and programs that have been impacted where it leaves them where not very many players are able to play for one reason or another, whether they opted out, whether they're, you know, it's just not enough to compete in a, you know, in a game. You know, but our medical staff, I mean, our trainer, our athletic, I mean, everybody's working in unison since to get this season continued and through. If you ask the players what they want to do, I would say 90% of the players are saying, let's go play. Let's continue to do what we need to do to get through this season because we want to play. And that's the responsibility on them to adhere to the protocols. And fortunately for us, we had a scare, but it wasn't a scare in which it shut us down for that 10 to 14 day period. We got shut down for 3 days because it was a false positive. But I do think if, you know, I don't look down on the teams that decide that they don't want to navigate through this because it's extremely hard and it takes a huge commitment to do it on everybody's part, because one can impact everybody. And if we don't learn anything from that, I mean, you can learn from that. It's like you got a team full of players and one player decides they want to do their own thing, not in a COVID way, but just they want to go party the night before a game. it's a star player, and they play significant minutes, and they get caught. So they can't play. That impacts the team. So I think we can learn some valuable lessons through adhering to the protocols of COVID.
Coach Don Staley, it is always a pleasure to have you here. Best the rest of the way, and we look forward to the next conversation. You be well, Coach.
Thank you. You too, Paul.
You got it. Always great to have Coach on. Never disappoints. We will take a break. We still have time for you to get in here at 855-242-7285. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, and great to have all of you here. Steve is up next as we roll back to calls. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Paul. Enjoy your show.
Thank
you. Been a long-time listener and a long-time Tennessee fan.
Well, it's great to have you on.
Paul, I wanted to talk about karma's come back to bite Tennessee. I started watching Tennessee in the 60s under Doug Dickey, and been a long-time fan, obviously. But, Paul, Phil Fulmer's record at Tennessee was 151, 52, and 1 for a 74% winning percentage, only second only to General Robert Nayland. He won back-to-back SEC championships and a national championship in 97-98. They said he slid, but in his later days. But, Paul, he won the SEC East in 2001, almost could have been in the national championship that year had they won, beat LSU for the second time. But he also won SEC East in 2004. With a 10-3 record, and again in 2007, Paul, he won with a 10-4 record. Yet they fired him the next year. The second winningest coach in the history of Tennessee football, with the only undefeated team in the history of Tennessee at 13-0 in '98, and they ran him out of town, much the same as they did with Bill Battle, who was 55. I believe he was 55 and 59 and 22 back in the early 70s. But the karma has come back to bite Tennessee. I don't know what they'll never find a Saban. They'll never have a national champion. There'll never be a coach like Saban anywhere. And I don't know what Tennessee fans and boosters expect. But since they ran Phillip away, we've had four coaches, and they're 72 and 73. Not even close to being in the SEC East contention. And I'm just afraid the karma inside the university has come back to bite them.
Well, Steve, it was really interesting to go down memory lane with you, and you're certainly very knowledgeable. Here's what's so upsetting about this. Jeremy Pruitt was supposed to undo all of that. Tennessee fans said, we need to be consistent. We need to stay with him. He'll learn. He'll grow. And we won't be making changes every 3 or 4 years with ADs and at the head football position. And that's exactly where they are. The one thing the school couldn't afford, more turnover, and that's where we are tonight. It's really it's profoundly sad and but these things happen and this one will be studied because it was the program is going to be hurt badly, and I know I want to be an optimist and say, hey, Tennessee will come through it, but the facts do not support that conclusion. Daniel is up next in Nashville. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, with all the doom and gloom that we're talking about University of Tennessee, I thought I'd give you a funny story. But first, I'm always out to prove your biases, our shared biases. So I'm going to ask you a simple question. Where's the best place to party during and after a game? Would that be the Strip or the Grove? And I'll let you think about that one. But my story is – that I was at that great Florida game at Neyland in 1998. And myself, like many others, probably 100,000 of us, was overserved. And once Florida missed that kick, I decided to run onto the field. Woke up the next morning miraculously, and I had some turf from Neyland Stadium, the field there. Came back to Nashville, came back home, put it in mason jar, and I was so proud of it. And just letting it grow and just amazing. There was Mecca right in front of me. My wife was married at the time, my first wife, and I said, look, I've got to go do some Army training. Please don't let this grass die. It just means very important to me. So I came back 3 or 4 weeks later, and it had died. Now, I am not saying that was the reason for our divorce, but it certainly didn't help her case to continue our relationship. Now, I want you to fast forward all the way to 2014. I was a lieutenant colonel with Illinois Army National Guard serving in Kuwait. And here comes Coach Fulmer, Philip Fulmer.
Oh, my.
He was on a he was on a USO tour with the former coach from Texas A&M. And, you know, there's not that many UT fans there in Kuwait. So there was a handful of us. Got to meet him, and I walked up to him. I said, Coach, you owe me $60,000. You can imagine the first word he said, and he goes, how's that? And I said, well, here's the deal. If you hadn't have won that game, I wouldn't have gotten that turf. Therefore, my ex-wife wouldn't have let it die. Therefore, we wouldn't have got a divorce, and it wouldn't have cost me over $60,000. So you owe me $60,000, and I'm yet to get that money. I don't know if this is a good time to ask him for it, or what are your thoughts on that?
What a great story.
He liked it.
That is fabulous. I would imagine over in Kuwait, he was not going to argue with a lieutenant colonel.
But I still haven't got the checks. I don't know. Maybe he'll Venmo it to me.
Well, he's about to get a good golden parachute, so maybe he can slide a few bucks your way. Hey, thank you very much. That was an absolutely wonderful call. That's cool. Richard is up next. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Richard, we are doing great.
All right. I want to talk about Tide Hoops. So, you know, right now we're undefeated in the SEC. We're coming off a big win streak. We beat the brakes off Arkansas, and we handed Kentucky the biggest home loss in the Calipari era. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on what Nate Oates is doing for this team through his coaching. You know, we're shooting more three-pointers. And how far do you think the Tide can make it in the tournament if they keep playing like they are right now? Because I think we could easily make a Elite Eight or even Final Four run.
Yeah, Richard, I am a big fan of Nate Oates, and I am – blown away by what I've seen so far, and really looking forward to seeing more. I think it's always hard to predict the NCAA tournament in January, but there's no reason to think he can't take this team deep into the tournament. Alabama has never gone beyond the Elite Eight. Mark Gottfried took them there, I believe, in 2004. They lost to Connecticut. Maybe off on the year, but it was an amazing run. And, you know, in all of Wim Sanderson's success, he never could get past the Sweet 16. But this team has a chance. And, you know, a lot of it depends on the draw, and a lot of it depends on how this team is clicking at that point in the tournament. But I like what I see so far. It's been fun to watch, and it's been great to see a coach finally come through at Alabama. We're up against a break. We have 30 minutes to go. We'll continue with your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have you here. Final 30 minutes, and Amp is up next. Good evening, Amp.
Well, hello there, and hello there, Paul, my brother from another mother. Thanks for having me on here.
Thank you very
much. Hey, I've got the answer to pull Tennessee out of all this mess. Now, you may laugh at me.
Never.
But I guarantee you it would help. It would fix the problem. And it's from the person, the most famous player in Tennessee, Peyton Manning. He could come along, I guarantee you, he could fix all this mess that Tennessee is in right now. It would stop all the...
Well, I do believe that Peyton is being heard. He certainly has a loud voice, but I've seen no evidence from Peyton since he retired.
But could you imagine him coming along as administrator over Tennessee and bringing in a coach?
Yeah, no, I agree. But I just think that would. I mean, this is a guy who has turned down.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
$15 million to broadcast one Monday night game a week. The idea of him going through the vagaries of being an athletic director, I just don't think appealed to him. Would it be well received? Yeah, it would be unbelievable. But I do not think it's going to happen. But yeah, he's being, I guarantee you, he's being consulted right now by people that matter. Belvedere is in Texas. Belvedere does matter. Good evening.
Belvedere does matter. That's funny. Hey, I want to tell you truly how much you mean to this audience. You are truly a fantastic person.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Wait, can I tell you something else?
Well, at the rate you're going, I'll give you the rest of the year to finish this conversation.
That's funny. Anyway, you truly matter to everybody. You're the minister of truth. But I want to ask you about, you had a previous caller named William. He was talking about how Mr. Pruitt, the former coach, would file a defamation suit and get jury money. I mean, how could Pruitt actually sue the University of Tennessee?
Well, I'm not trying to act like a lawyer here, but he would have a very big hill to climb, like Mount Everest. He would have to prove that they have damaged him by their comments, but he would also have to prove that the charges against him are scurrilous and unsubstantiated, and I don't think that would be possible. And I think the best point William made, and anyone who's ever been involved in this type of litigation knows, it is expensive, and he is paying the bills. The university is no longer paying his bills because he's suing them.
I agree with that. And my argument with William is that if actually Jake Pruitt decided to sue the university, which is frivolous because they fired him on just causes, that William Pruitt said that William said that Pruitt might prevail on getting attorney's fees, and that
he was real. That's always the David versus Goliath in legal matters, Belvedere. Is that when you sue a big corporation or a big company or a university, they can, if you lose the case, they can sue you for legal fees. That's a good way to scare the little guy off. This case will not go to court. The university at some point will settle with him and get rid of him. because they cannot afford for him to be out there as a loose cannon. They have culpability too. And, you know, I don't know, you know, exactly who or to whom he can cast his poisonous arrows, but it would not be a good move for Tennessee to fight this to the death. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. Swami is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Swami.
Hey, big guy. Hey, Paul.
Hey, the
Swami has some major breaking news tonight, Paul.
I'm really glad to hear that.
I've just learned, Paul, that John Gruden has been spotted in Knoxville.
Well, you do know his wife was a cheerleader there 35 years ago.
I just thought I'd get that out there first before anybody else got it out there.
I'm surprised it hasn't already come out.
I've been over here. But, you know, Paul, I've been out here, you know, kind of shining my crystal ball, and the Jeremy Pruitt situation still looks kind of fuzzy to me. You know, I don't know if he's been thrown under the bus or what's going on there. But the Kevin Steele situation is crystal clear to me. I mean, you know, when he come there, everybody's just kind of scratching their head because he had a DC there. But, yeah, I'm sure he was given assurance, and he's always wanted to be a head coach, that, you know, hey, look, we're fixing to fire Pruitt. We're probably going to go on probation for a couple of years. We need you to come in here and just kind of hold the fort here for a couple of years, and if you do good, you know, the job's probably yours. If not, we just go on from there.
But, Swami, you know, I think you're right, but the problem with Kevin Steele ascending to become the permanent head coach is the person who I think made him that promise is not going to be in charge.
Well, that's true. I've really not thought about that. But on the lighter side, you know, we were both wrong about Tom Brady. You know, we thought washed up Hall of Famer.
Of the many things I've been wrong about this year, which is pretty much everything, that may have been the worst call.
All right. Have a good night, Paul.
Thank you, Swami. Didn't know Swami and I were in the prediction business. Let's check out Jim, who is also in the volunteer state. Jim, thank you, and good evening to you.
Hey, Paul. I'm a first-time caller, but I watch your show
on a regular basis. Thank you.
And I really respect your opinion, especially about sports in the Southeastern Conference and the way you manage your callers who really don't have a clue of what they're talking about. But with that said, I have to disagree with you on a comment that was made today.
Sure.
About 17-year-old, you know, athletes who really don't know the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm eager to hear what you have to say.
Okay. You know, this isn't 1960 or 1955 when we grew up without social media. Okay, these kids today are exposed to all the social media outlets available. Do you ever see a high school kid walking down the street without a cell phone in his ear or her ear? Secondly, we got 24/7 sports, ESPN, Fox, you name it. We got daily calls and shows, your show being one of the best. And how do you think that these kids who are 5'4" and 3-star athletes being recruited by Power 5 schools do not know the difference between right and wrong and what they're doing to accept a bribe or money in a McDonald's bag or anything is wrong. The second part of that is they all have mentors. They're coaches in high school. These kids aren't, you know, scrubs. These coaches are prepping these kids. You can't do this. You can't do that. And the lady from Seattle, I think, made a good point. These young men need to be held accountable for some of the most serious allegations.
Well, Jim, it's a fascinating conversation, and I think you're right. I think most people at that age do know the difference between right and wrong, but I think it goes a layer beyond that. And maybe I'm exposed to too many athletes, but there's also a feeling among athletes that maybe they deserve something. And that is in conflict with my original statement. But a lot of them, and I threw myself in there, don't really think it's a big deal for them to get something for visiting a college or being influenced, because they look around, and I'm not going to get into a whole deep-seated conversation about where we all come from, but I didn't grow up with money, and if somebody offered me something at that age, I probably would have taken it. I mean, there's a big difference between me taking $25 or $100 and me robbing a bank, which I knew better. But I mean, I think you just have to look at it and go, well, is it that big of a deal? And I know in your, you know, if you look at it from a very narrow perspective, it is a big deal. Wrong is wrong. And I heard that a million times growing up, but I just gave an honest comment. That's all. At that age, I probably would have taken it.
Hey, and I respect that, and I just wanted to, you know, make a comment on the other side.
That's fair.
Growing up in Memphis, you may have taken a $10 bill on a McDonald's Big Mac.
You bet.
But you'd probably say to yourself, why did that guy give me this $10 bill on a McDonald's Big Mac? Is this, what's going on here?
Well, you're right about that. It's a great question, and it really is a great philosophical discussion, and I'll bring on a player one day, former player, I just think it's worth hearing different perspectives. As Coach Staley said earlier, you know, we all come from different places, and you know, I don't think it's you're selling your soul to take a Big Mac. I guess maybe I'm trying to mitigate the crime, but maybe because my first job was in McDonald's, I'm partial.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.